Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. You know, I'm trying to say WNST because the damn AI keeps saying WNSD. And I'm like, it's like when Mueller taught me to say county instead of county. County. So I'm working on that. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be working on Carroll County. I'll be in Greenmount Station in Hampstead, not Hamden, where I was the other day doing yoga. It's all brought to you by our friends at Planet Fitness, our friends at GBMC, Keep Me Alive and Well, and of course, Farnan and Dermer, and that's on Luke Jones's chest. Luke, I got a new Planet Fitness shirt here that I'm going to wear. It's just plain black and white. It's summertime. I just want to remind everybody out there, because Luke's going to be speaking to some young whippersnappers who want to be us later in life at the sports broadcasting camp this week, that if you do have youngins of that age, 14, 15, 16, 17, and you want to get them out of the house, get them in shape, Planet Fitness, free around the corner. You can work out with my wife all summer over at Timonium, and I do appreciate the shirt. The shirt looks good, looks regal. This is a reminder to Kristen over at GBMC and all my other sponsors that it's time to freshen up the gear around here, like our friends at Farnan and Dermer, who I got a new shirt for you too, Luke. It's not the orange one. It's a different one that I got shipped over from Zach. So, hey, quite a weekend out at Dodger Stadium, right? Not too shabby. Victories, blowouts, quieting Shohei Ohtani, quieting Freddie Freeman, further quieting the quad and other things of Mookie Betts. Even hit him in the face with the ball. Good weekend at Dodger Stadium. I'm home alone all weekend, up all night, plotting the 3.0 version of Baltimore Positive and our forthcoming app and all of these other things that I'm doing out in the cosmos with AI and my dude from ProfitComm, Dennis O'Donovan. Good baseball weekend, and bravo for keeping the season alive and making me have to stay up late and making you have to appear with Casper Wells and my pal Howard Scherr for an ensemble baseball emergency gathering before the Anaheim game at 4 p.m. at Greenmount Station in Hampstead on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, the weekend felt weird to me as much as anything else. I mean, in some ways, in some ways, and I don't want to make it out to be that winning 2 out of 3 amounts to much of anything, unless, like I keep saying, they have to keep winning. I'm really at a point now, as we're almost to the halfway point. I keep watching, obviously. I cover this team, obviously, but it's one of those things where until you get back to 500, like we can keep doing this song and dance where they're back and then they're not back and then they're back and then they look good and then they look terrible and then they kind of look okay. But it was an exciting weekend, right? I don't know how many people stayed up late Friday night. Full disclosure, I fell asleep and Kevin Brown's, oh no, when the ball got away on the last play
I fell
on
asleep
Friday
Saturday
night.
night. I'm not
I
gonna
woke
lie.
up.
Saturday night, I cut it up with Nala, and it was over.
Yeah. So
Once
like,
the cat joins you at 10:15, it's over.
Right. It's for me, it was over as soon as I said, you know what? I'm going to watch the rest of the game in bed, put it on the
No, I
TV in
mean,
the
the other
bedroom
thing
and
is you can tape it, which is what I did. And it's 3:22 in the morning, which is when I always wake up. If not to pee, then at least to watch the Oregon. And then I watch it after that. I mean, it was kind of fun watching Palmer all weekend, I thought. I mean, and I just have I mentioned I love Dodger Stadium? Have I mentioned that once or twice? Yeah, and
Well, the
like
Orioles love Dodger Stadium over the weekend for the most part.
Pete
I mean,
Alonso loves Dodger Stadium, right?
So I mean, it was a very weird weekend in the sense of Wednesday night or Wednesday night. Friday night goes the way that it did, and they're down early 3-0. You're thinking, oh, okay, like Trey Gibson's in over his head. He settles in and does a pretty nice job after that.
Bases loaded thing was a nice little Houdini
Sure,
act, right?
absolutely. I mean, that was one of those moments where you say, okay, if Trey Gibson figures this thing out over the next year in the way that Brandon Young has,
It
quite
reminded me
frankly.
of Greg Olson in Oakland that night back when
Yeah,
you were a real youngin', you know
that's
what I mean?
one of those checkpoints where you look at the maturation process a little bit and say, hey, you've done this and you can get out of a jam like that. But you look at Friday night and Gunnar hits the home run. Alonso hits the home run. They tie it in the sixth. Jeremiah Jackson, who's barely played of late, but a two-run single. And then Helsley's just a disaster in the ninth inning, right? And the defense I mean, Tyler O'Neill's charged with the error on the game losing play. Although I still kind of feel like Bisaio needs to get in front of that ball there, but they lose, right? And you're thinking, oh my gosh, they have this comeback. And you're really wondering at that point, is this just going to be a disaster of the weekend? Is this when they fold up shop and they're just going to get their feelings hurt? And they win the next two. However, Saturday night's game, ninth inning drama again, where they kick the ball around and, Mayo. Not, it wasn't charged as an error, but certainly a play he could have made. The Taveras error was just inexplicable. But Yennier Cano, great job getting out of the jam, a jam that he had nothing to do with creating. So they get the win. And then Sunday, I mean, they just jumped on Sheehan early and they just beat the pants off the Dodgers on Sunday. I mean, they hit the ball and Brandon Young was solid. What, four different home runs? Couser, Taylor Ward, Pete Alonso, Blaze Alexander continues to hit. And Sunday was as emphatic, as convincing of a win as they've had all year. So good series win. I'm not going to sit here and be dismissive of the act of winning a series against the Dodgers. That's good, but we've also seen this team play well and then immediately not play well. And that's where I kind of look at it and say, all right, if you want to finish off a road trip and feel pretty good about yourselves coming home, don't lose two out of three to Anaheim now, right? I mean, the last thing you want to do, but.
Yeah, I'm writing jokes here, and it's sort of like, when you want to win two out of three at Dodger Stadium, make it count, make it in October.
Oh,
Right now,
sure. I
it's
mean,
a
they.
weekend in LA, and I tell you what, it's the kind of West Coast road trip now that you could put a bow and an exclamation point on to come home and say, season's alive again, and the
Sure.
Nationals are in town, and the bobblehead or the weekend or whatever they're doing with the flag or whatever, whistling the national, whatever the hell they're doing this weekend, playing competitive baseball is, to your point, you always put that front. I mean, as you should, that's where the light needs to be, competitive baseball, right? At this time of the year. They did that over the weekend, and I know not everybody stayed up all night at Unique Clove Field, and with all of it. But I don't know. It was a good baseball weekend, and the whole 1966 thing. And I got the tweet at Jim Palmer for forgetting Louie, by the way, and forgetting Frank Robinson played the 1961 World Series as well.
True.
So kind of, I was like hanging on the conversation between Brown and Palmer. And I thought that that was something that even when I fell asleep on Saturday night, I woke back up. And I don't know. There's such lore, dude. I mean, I wasn't alive in 66, but it begat me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my parents got married that summer. I would, you know what I mean? Like, Louis was here, the whole deal. And it means something to me. The 66 World Series thing means something to me. And hearing Palmer kind of come in and out of it at various points over the weekend, I just, again, dude, it's a television show to me. So I'll talk about it like that. Like, so we talk about American Idol, what happens on the stage. To me, part of it's what Simon Cowell said too. And
Sure.
like watching this for 9 hours over the weekend in the middle of the night, kind of in a weird time in the afternoon on Sunday when the golf thing's going on, all the World Cups blowing up all over the place too. Like when I've gone in, I was at Cooper's the other night having a late night, Columbia's on. I was at the Germany things happening, Scotland. It's a lot of soccer happening out there. But to keep the focus on the Orioles need to keep the focus on the Orioles, especially when they're playing at friggin' midnight, you know what I mean? And their rookie pitcher screwing up early on Friday night, and you're feeling like nighty night, and you come out of it on Sunday night, or you went boating over the weekend, or you went to the beach, or you did something and you just didn't stay up. You're just following the score, and maybe you didn't watch a pitch over the weekend, which is, that's also cool too. It was kind of a weird weekend to be following it to some degree, especially if you're watching soccer all day long too and betting on it. Bet. Can't wait to get to John Martin at the end of this month to figure out the sports wagering, because I just see sports everywhere in a way that only the World Cup, I think, can bring it. Good weekend for them, but I don't know who's awake at 11:45 tomorrow night, watching it. But I know that we can all get back into it at 7 o'clock on Friday when they get back home. If somehow, some way, they start to think about breaking out a broom on a really bad team on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be dismissive of if you quote only win 2 out of 3, because again, the way this team is, they're just as likely to lose 2 out of 3 over the next few nights, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just what we've seen. I mean, it's who they are. But if you can sweep and get back to 2 under, which is since early May, has kind of been their high water mark, right? I mean, they haven't
You're not
been at
giving them the
500.
all-star break at 500, right? Like I like
But
that's
you've got to make your
really
move. You've got to
that's
make your
where it
move at some
was
point.
even in April, right? In a
Sure.
at any point, if we were saying if they were gonna have Westberg not make the plate, Holiday
Right.
miss half of this, Henderson stink, Eflin be gone, Helsley be injured, Kittredge be injured. Let's just keep going through it. Mountcastle out. I mean, just all the names we could just sort of throw out. Now Rutschman has had issues, once again, getting hit. Like to say 500 at the All-Star break would be. That's oxygen. And I think you and I've mentioned this
Yeah.
on and off. It's harder to mention it when they're 8 games under. It really is.
No, I hear you, and that's where I kind of view the weekend. I'm at the point now where if this had happened a month ago, you'd be hearing me talking way more about, okay, here you go, here you go. I'm way more in show me, right? I mean, look, the Miami Marlins won a series at Dodger Stadium earlier this year, right? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Cleveland won a series at Dodger Stadium. Atlanta, who's been really good all year, but
The blowout was
this
fun
is
on
a,
Sunday, I must
oh, no
say.
doubt, no doubt.
Like, I mean, it's still only one win, but
It's a
as
good
far as a
weekend, but
confidence boost to leave, you to your point, you're the teacher for the sports broadcasting kids. Hey, look at what you did, kids. Look at
yeah.
how good. Look at what you did at Dodger Stadium. Now, dream a little bit of being an 88 win wild card team
Yeah.
that catches fire that won't be intimidated if you have to go back there again.
Right, and that's where there was almost a sense of annoyance about the weekend, because you look at it and you say, hey, that looked pretty good. Like, Sunday's performance looked good. You did that against the defending world champions, right? Why can't you have any level of consistency that approaches that, right? And I'm not saying a 100 wins. I'm not saying be the best team in baseball, but come on. You know what I mean? Like, there was a little bit of that for me, if I'm being
You
honest, if
can
I'm
do
looking
it.
at it.
You can do it.
But it's more so, why can't you do that more often, right? Because it did look really good on Saturday and Sunday. It looked good Friday until, the ninth inning. I mean, they had a late inning comeback on Friday. So that's a little bit more where I am with this, more so than being overly encouraged by it. But sweep the Angels, right? I mean, like, we're not talking about the Angels are bad. I mean, you want to talk about teams. We've questioned the direction of where the Orioles go from here, and Elias, and all kinds of different things of ownership, all kinds of different things about this organization. But you look at the Angels, I mean, my goodness, you want to talk about listless. I mean, that's about as listless as it gets in terms of where the heck they go. I mean, okay, they've got a future Hall of Fame player in Mike Trout, who's still under contract for the foreseeable future,
We just
but
saw their best player all weekend.
sure, exactly.
And
And that's what I mean, right? So my
by the
point
way,
is,
if I'm going to go on about Dodger Stadium, I got to get some cheap shots in for the Anaheim Stadium. So I've gotten my comedy here for the end of the routine. So I'll
okay,
bring that
all
up.
right.
But it's the worst stadium, by the way.
But my point is, just with this, I mean, if you want me or anyone, forget about me. If you want anyone who's watching this club to really start to say, okay, maybe this is a little more of who you can be, then go to Anaheim and sweep the Angels. I mean, that's just where I am at this point. Like, this constant, they get up to 2 or 3 games under 500, and then they fall back to 6, right? Or they fall to 7, like they did Friday night. That's why I kind of said, like, they need to get back to 500,
See,
right?
I
I mean,
think they're always going to kick the ball around, but I think these
that's what makes it
spurts
tough, right?
where they pitch and they hit well, I'll hear that.
Sure,
You know what I mean?
sure.
And I'll even hear that the young guys in Gibson and Young are coming along to keep them afloat, which is amazing.
They've
Which is
done a nice
amazing. Like
job.
if you and I would have talked in March about these two guys that Brandon, they'd be 10-2 in games that Brandon Young starts.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that he'd have 12 friggin' starts,
To
we'd
begin
say,
with,
how
right.
many games under 500 are they? And you'd say, no, they're 10-2 in his starts.
Right. It's
And
not
you're
because of
like,
him.
and they're still under five. Like, exactly.
Right.
That is
That's
the.
what's frustrating. And
But
that's.
no. You know what, dude? I was thinking about this on Sunday night because you and I almost did a segment on Sunday night. You didn't want to do it. By the way, happy Father's Day. I haven't said that to everybody, everybody out there who's. I hope everybody had a great time with their fathers, but or kids or daughters, whoever you were with had a good time. I was going to say to you, the whole notion of like keeping this thing together and in check and wherever it is. You were the optimist like 2 weeks ago, feeling
Yeah.
good when they sort of picked themselves back up again. This was sort of a weekend where, like, I can sort of dust off and find the charm and also say, Alonso's on pace to 42 home runs or something,
Sure.
right? You know what I mean? So some of these guys that it got a slow start and things weren't so good, heating this thing up and finding the Brandon Youngs to say, all right, who are going to be the surprises? And this is what I was going to say to you on Sunday night. Had we done this, because I did write this down. You always say that's the beauty of baseball, dude. That's why we
Sure.
want to, that's what makes baseball awesome, because sometimes Mookie Betts bobbles one, right? Like literally, right?
Yeah, I mean that's what makes it baseball, but that's also my argument right now for let me see what happens in Anaheim then. Right? I mean that, no, but because I'm just because that was me. Or to your point, that was me 2.5 weeks ago, very much being encouraged about where they were, and then they lost what, 8 of their next 12 or whatever it was. So
Well, you start
that's
to
what.
feel like they're running out of time on the trading deadline to figure out what they are. Is that
I
what
mean,
you're
what?
thinking? Because they're only chasing the top
Well,
wild card team, which is like right around the corner
right. I mean,
because
when
they
you.
all stink. And you've written about that at Baltimore
Sure.
Positive. We talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, but for me, it's just, I just want to see them look consistent, right? I mean, I'm not looking for them to play 100 win pace baseball. I don't think they're that because of what you just laid out with the defense and the other
They just
flaws
give
of,
the other team
but.
29 to 31 outs almost every night. I mean,
Right. I mean, my goodness.
literally.
And this is where I'd be remiss because we talked about Trey Gibson. We talked about Brandon Young on Sunday.
The
Trevor
Bisaio
Rogers,
play.
no, well, I was going to talk about
Well.
Saturday. Trevor Rogers was phenomenal. And they came that close to completely throwing that game away, too. And it's
I mean,
just.
Tyler O'Neill can't throw the ball. Henderson can't
I put that
field
more on
it.
Bisaio, though.
Bisaio, yeah, that wasn't any good.
I'll be
And then if the
honest.
manager criticizes him, holy hell, we're going to have World War III with the kid who's guaranteed
He was
$78 million.
more critical of Helsley. I mean, the fact of the matter is Helsley walked two
Walk
guys in the
guys.
middle of that inning. I
Sure.
mean, that was really the backbreaker there. But even just Saturday, I mean, they get Trevor Rogers looking stuff-wise, looking as good as he looked last summer. I mean, that's what he looked like. The velocity was ticked up, ticked up a little bit. Was getting swing and miss. I mean, he was really good on Saturday, and they came that close to blowing that because of their defense in the ninth inning. But you
Dude, they got
just.
the Angels and the Nationals this week, and the pitchers are pitching well, and the bats are going well. How about a 5-1? By the time we get
Sure.
together next Monday, and I'm talking about Sammy Hagar and the Heritage Fair and the 4th of July, like literally, how about, we're at the Greenmount Station we're doing on Wednesday, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, GBMC, and Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys keep me comfortable all week. How about a 5-1? How about a
Yeah,
5-1 against these
that's
bad
kind of my point.
teams?
Well, I would say this: be
Be
careful
careful
calling the
about the
Nationals
Nationals.
bad.
I know,
They
yeah.
hit the ball, man. If you've seen what they've been able to, they've scored runs. I mean, there's no doubt
I
about
don't have
that.
that
But
channel.
well, not I don't either. But yeah, I watch MLB Network, right? So,
The
but
White Sox are better than anybody wants them to be.
yeah, I mean, it's you never. Although they actually came back down to earth over the weekend, they lost three straight, but. But yeah, I mean, and that's my point about all this. Like, look, the Dodgers series was fun. I mean, the ninth inning Friday night and Saturday, I guess it was dramatic. They still won. It felt like they lost, but it was a fun weekend, right? And you saw all these different things that, I mean, Colton Cowser, a big game on Sunday, right? Trevor Rogers looking great Saturday. Like things that you were hoping to see all year. Surfaced, that like showed up, and you see that, but we also just saw that stretch recently where more of that happened, and then they fell right back down after that. And that's why I kind of said, I'm not even being facetious here. It for me, it feels just as likely that they could lose 2 out of 3 to the Angels as, feeling as heartened as you did about the weekend, right? And how fun Saturday and Sunday was. So I don't say that to be flippant, but we also have to be realistic. I mean, this
Well,
is who
the
this team has
Rutschman and
been.
Holiday aren't around
And
either,
that's
right?
part of it
So
too, right? You've got
let's
that
bake
factor.
into this. We keep talking, and it's very clear. By the way, Luke Jones is here at Baltimore. Luke, if you're just following us out on the radio or in Podcast Landia, we've just done a half an hour on how awesome the pitching is and how awesome it is to see Alonso on a 40 home run pace and the good things, but. Boy, the Holiday Rutschman thing, they're gonna play a little bit here. Like it feels like a little spell. That's 2-1-1s, right? You know what I mean? Like when you say Rutschman and Holiday, there's part of the cast here. They're not really part of the cast. They're two Peyton Mannings.
They're
They
supposed
have
to
to be.
be. Because,
They better be.
Rutschman has been much more of that guy this year, right? I mean, for as much as we've been disappointed about this team collectively,
Which is
he's
why
been
we
one
got
of
to
the biggest
miss him.
success
That's why I
stories.
need him in
Yeah,
there.
right. No, so the point I was trying to make, I agree with that. Jackson Holiday, in a big picture sense, yes, of course. I'm not sure Jeremiah Jackson's much of a step down from the Jackson Holiday that we've seen, right? That we've seen right now in the here and now, not talking about what Jackson Holiday could be 5 years from
Right, ball
now.
gets hit in
Yeah.
that direction and or
I mean,
plate
Jackson had a.
appearances and or I'm getting you 5 at bats tonight and what's the outcome of that? It's not that Holiday really is Roberto Alomar, it's that he might be.
It's the upside, right? It's the perception of him. Whereas, I mean, we talked about it the first month of the season. I mean, not so much in May, but in April, Jeremiah Jackson did an admirable job filling in, right? I mean, he hit what, 5 home runs, 6 home runs, whatever it was, in over the first month of the season. But your point is well taken because you now have Rutschman on the concussion IL. Look, could he
That
be back?
sucks.
Could he be back in a week? Sure. He could be back in a week and it could
Dude,
be totally
I
fine.
watch Brian Roberts do these
But
games and I know what it does to a career.
you never
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
right?
I
You
hope he's
never know.
okay.
It could be fine. This could be way more, hey, we're going to be erring on the side of caution here rather than trying to push through something. Look, I mean, you mentioned Brian Roberts. How about more recently? Look what happened to Heston Kerstad a couple years ago. At a
Yeah.
point when he was really starting to look the part, he gets beamed in that Yankee series and he's never even come close to looking right ever since. And I'm not saying it's just because of the concussion, just you just never know what's going to happen. So yeah, you do look like it. Look at that. I did see an interesting note after Sunday's game. It was Basayo's fourth straight game catching. He lobbied to catch on Sunday, day game after a night game. I liked hearing that. I liked hearing that, especially in the wake of everything that happened, right? And we didn't get the whole story, right? The truth is somewhere in the middle as far as what Albernaz said, wherever Basayo was with these issues. I think there's more to it, but point is, you want that to be as harmonious as possible moving forward. You don't want that to be a problem. You don't want to have your manager and someone that you've identified as one of your pillars over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years to not be on the same page, right? I mean, they don't have to be best buddies, but you don't want them to be at odds. So the idea that
Well, the feeling would
Basayo,
be with this Albernaz want what's best for Basayo's
I think he does.
career.
I mean, I don't
And
think he's
part of
trying to.
that is Basayo's already a made guy. And I think we've gone through this.
That can be a
That
thing, right?
is a thing.
Yeah,
That
for
is
a
the thing.
21-year-old.
That is the thing. That is not a thing. That is the
It's not for
thing.
everyone. I mean, some players you don't have
It
those issues.
is. It is. It is.
I
It is.
disagree, but
I've
I
never
understand
seen
the
it
point.
not be when you get the money. I mean, the money. Cyndi Lauper wrote the song. I mean, if I were writing a book,
Not everyone's like
I
that, though.
would
I mean, so a lot of
not,
people are, but not
but when
everyone.
you go into it and me being on the outside, not even allowed to ask these guys questions in English or Spanish, and judging it from the outside, it's very easy to say it's hard to motivate a young man when you've already given him the money. I like it's just that is, but all that being said, to your point, You want him to be the tryingest, hardenest,
Yeah.
working hardest, youngest, most at it guy, and you want that every minute of every day if you're Albernaz, right? And I don't all that gamer in him trying to get that out of him. You want Bisaccia to be in the Hall of Fame, not in the Hall of Rich.
Right. And or just the Hall of Good. You
He's
know what I
already
mean?
in the
But
Hall of Wealthy. I mean, like
So
literally. Yeah.
and there's something to the idea you're talking about someone who was a catcher himself, when he was a player, and there is a little bit of that. It's the same way that you talk about, Father's Day was Sunday. That father who might be on the hard on the son, who has all this potential in the world, is intelligent, is talented, but doesn't apply himself, right? And let me be clear, I'm not suggesting that that's what this is entirely by any stretch of the imagination, but I think there's a little bit of Albernaz looking at Pasayo and saying, I think you can be great, but you need to do X, Y, and Z in order to become great, right? So I think there's some of that working at work. And look, if it's done, if it's coming from a good place, if it's not something where there's an axe to grind or anything like that, and again, like, I don't understand. I see some of the fan arguments, that whether we're talking pro Bisaccia or whatever, anti-Albernaz, like, I don't think he's trying to pick a fight with him randomly or anything. I think some things have probably happened behind the scenes where they want to see something that looks a little bit more consistent, right? In terms of whether it's attitude, effort, whatever it might
There it is.
be.
Different
But
habits, different ethos, because
sure.
we know we believe in your potential. We know
Correct.
what you're capable of.
Right.
Capable of that is being available 6 nights a week to go play baseball.
Right. And doing things the way you need to do it, right? And taking care of yourself, whatever it might be. But
Right.
hey, Bisaccia had a good game on Saturday. Sunday he caught again. Again, that was fourth straight day, instead of having Sam Huff behind the plate. I would assume we'll see Bisaccia DH at the very least in Anaheim in the opener, I would think. I don't think you want to. I love the kid, but you don't want him catching 5, 6, 7 days in a row. That's extreme in the wrong direction. But it was just good to see that, right? On the heels of how awkward that was good to see. I like that. Even with Friday night, where I thought he, I don't think it was an effort thing. I think it was a positioning thing where he needs to understand when O'Neill makes that throw. And yeah, it's coming in hot, but it's not like it was extraordinarily offline. Take one step up the third base side and make sure you get in front of it and knock that ball down. That way the winning run can't score. At least make the Dodgers earn it in that spot. That was more my argument with that. So, but again, going back to this team collectively, it was a great, fun weekend, right? Took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. I'm not going to be dismissive of that in terms of what the weekend was, which was a fun weekend, but do you want it to just be a fun weekend? And you look back at a pretty nondescript, irrelevant season and say, oh, well, they took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers in late June. That was fun. Or can you build on this and start establishing some more consistency and really start beating the teams you're supposed to beat and get yourself back to 500 and then a little over 500? And then at that point, we're talking about a much more interesting trade deadline. I'd much rather be talking about the trade deadline in those terms rather than, okay, are they going to sell? If they are, how much are they going to sell? If they're going to sell, do they really want Mike Elias being, more extreme with me? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have that conversation again. We did that last year. That's not fun. But at the same time, I also am not going to sit here and blow smoke if they're 5 games under 500 a month from now. Really thinking that they should be buyers and be trading assets for what? You
And
know
they're
what I
going to say
mean?
we're 3 games off the wild card at
Yeah.
that point.
Well,
That's what they're
I
going to say.
understand, but also if you have 6 teams in between you
Yeah,
and
but
that,
you don't stop trying if you're Rubinstein and Arrighetti.
I
And
understand.
I mean, I think
I
they'll go all
understand.
in. I think if they're on the
See,
edge of the cliff, they'll go all in because Elias will look at it as the only way to keep his job. Rubinstein and Arrighetti will
yeah.
say the stadium's empty. Let's go for it. If we're just 3 games behind, we're
Yeah.
open for business. And then you have a guy who's going to get fired plundering the organization at that point, who, boy, that really infuriate Lock and Four. I might have to get him on the
Well,
show.
I will
Yeah, I
also
mean,
say in that spot, a GM's looking for his next look. If we're to assume this could be it for Mike Elias, he's
let's
also not,
assume that. Let's assume
and
that.
that's fine.
Let's
But
assume
he's
that.
also not going to want to sabotage himself, right? You're not going to like sit
I'm
here and
not saying that. I'm just
no, I.
saying t whatever those
He wants to do a
decisions
good job,
are,
is
they're
my
not the
point.
decision of the future ethos of the
I hear you.
organization. They're the decisions of the past ethos of the
Sure.
organization, because it will not be the future ethos of the organization. Of course, unless you hire Jesse Minter, who worked for both of the other guys. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We are we're into the soup here this week, and you know, it's not. There's no football to talk about. We have an all-star game around the corner. We have, I mean, they're even doing the Heritage Fair a week early to accommodate me on the 4th of July this week. We're going to be at a Greenmount Station on Wednesday. I'll have Scratch Austin there on the lottery. Everybody, the horses have been really popular, these Assateague horses, summertime. I thought that the Bay Bridge would be more. Well, there's traffic on the Bay Bridge, but it's all brought to you by our friends at GBMC and Farnan and Dermer. I'm wearing my freshly pressed Planet Fitness shirt. I'm a pretty good shot. I'm almost beach condition here as we go to California. Dude, I wanted to move the conversation off of the team, the pitching. By the way, Bradish in the first night. We'll see how the rest of the series goes. Nationals at home this weekend, beginning on Friday. I don't know what bobblehead they're giving away. Let Kevin Brown tell you about that in the middle of the night. But speaking of Kevin Brown, and the broadcast over the weekend, and it's always interesting for you and me, because when you're in our WNST seat now down the third baseline, you don't get to watch the broadcast. And certain nights, like Ben McDonald, they'll do something funny, or they'll say something, or something interesting, or something incorrect, where I spanked Jim Palmer the other night about my cousin. But like on a weekend where you get the presentation in the middle of the night, where are you on the going to Dodger Stadium thing with me? Because I have this Fenway Park thing, and we're inside of 30 days on the Fenway Park trip that you and I are sort of planning, that I'm not sure that you're really going to do. And I'm letting the cat out of the bag now that we have a 24-hour Fenway Santarpio's Pizza Encore dessert, legal seafood clam chowder run on the tee. Dodger Stadium, is it something like you don't even have, is it just too long on a plane for you, dude? I'm trying to get it.
No, I just haven't done it before. I mean, it's there's
So like this
nothing.
trip, when you see Dodger Stadium in Anaheim, is that something you have interest in? I almost took you to San Francisco and San Diego last year. Like, I'm just trying to vibe out the Dodger Stadium thing now that it's over with. We're going to Anaheim, because Anaheim's the absolute worst. It's
Yeah,
35 miles
there's no
apart.
juice
It's
for
terrible.
Anaheim. I mean, there's no juice for
Terrible.
Anaheim whatsoever. I
I'd
mean,
rather take you to Huntington Beach, to the pier, take you to Duke's, get you
the
some
only juice for
proper
Anaheim.
Ahi tuna.
The only juice for Anaheim would have been if Ohtani was still there, right? And now he's at Dodger Stadium anyway. So, no, I mean, I've never been there. It doesn't mean I wouldn't want to go there. I mean, it's obviously, especially with what they've been over the last 7, 8 years specifically, and having won 3 World Series, 2 in the more conventional sense, putting the COVID truncated year aside. I mean, the atmosphere and how many people are there. You see Chavez Ravine, you see all the parking around the ballpark. I mean, like it is, even though it's been fixed up and changed and modified and all of that, there is still that sense of what it was when the Orioles played in the
Dude, it's
1966 World
awesome.
Series
I went
there.
last year. I went. I didn't even
Yeah.
want to go. And Janet Marie, I told this story to somebody on the show. Maybe it was Raskin
I
recently.
feel like you told me on air, maybe. I'm not
Yeah,
sure.
Janet Marie invited me. We were out there to see the Who and Joe Perry at the Hollywood Bowl. And I think we mixed it with another trip. I don't know what the heck we were doing. We were doing something else. It wasn't Albuquerque. I don't even know. But either way, and like, I wasn't going to go. I wanted to go to the Whiskey, and I wanted to go to the Troubadour. I've never been to either one of them. And there were a couple like nondescript bands, not bands that were my bands, playing there. And Jen's like, "You're being an idiot. Janet Marie's inviting you to Dodger Stadium. She wants to share." She wasn't there. She had to leave town, so she didn't get to show me anything. But she like left my name at the speakeasy in right field, and I got to walk in and feel like Bugsy Malone or feel like Jack Nicholson for a minute. And I don't know, dude. That place is like magic to me. In a lot of weird ways for me, with memories I have of eating hot dogs there when I was syndicated 27 years ago, doing my show from Staples Center, all that stuff. But like, watching an inning with Kelsey Grammer, eating sushi with Larry King, my wife getting a selfie with LL Cool J, me talking to Davey Johnson, and him actually being nice to me, in some sort of peaceful way, with the Team USA on the field. I interviewed Brian Roberts on the field that night. I think like I have all these Dodger Stadium memories, including taking Niels there, and Janet Marie. She's shown me, she's given me three different tours in three different eras of the stadium as it's come along. I just think it's a thing everybody should do. And I want to speak up for Jim Palmer for 1 minute, because everybody knows how much I love Jim Palmer. I mean, like, for real, my wife knows, trust me, anyone that's ever worked for me
I
knows,
think
anyone that's ever
everyone
listened.
loves Jim Palmer at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's
I
been a,
really love Jim Palmer,
yeah.
though. You know what I
No,
mean?
I was just saying I agree with your sentiment. Yeah. I mean, it's Jim Palmer. I mean, he's literally sitting there talking about stuff that happened 60 years ago that he was front and center. I mean, he outdueled Koufax in
How
Koufax's
special is
last
that?
game. I
That's
mean, it's
why I wanted to
amazing.
talk
Yeah.
about this,
Yeah.
because I just think it's special, man.
Sure.
I don't want to get weepy, although I could and I might, but like, he lives 10 minutes from Anaheim. I mean, he
Right.
lives out there. And how many more three packs at Dodger Stadium is he going to be front and center on the broadcast up in the middle of the night, watching Shohei Ohtani play, watching whatever Gunnar Henderson's going to be, and whatever Jackson Holliday and Sam Bisaio, whatever the next, because he's not going to be around to call it. If Sam Bisaio turns into, who's the catcher from the Royals?
Salvador Perez.
Yeah, if he turns into Perez and he's here 14 years and they win a World Series and he becomes that sort of guy for the organization, Jim's going to be 90 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I mean, we have to be realistic in terms of just him calling games. I'm not talking about anything beyond that. It's probably not going to be doing it that much longer.
well,
I
that's what
mean,
I'm saying.
yeah,
This might, to
exactly.
me,
Oh, it was
be
like a
his
love
last
letter.
chance to be at Dodger Stadium that weekend.
It was kind of a
And
love letter series in that way.
dude,
I mean,
I
as
would have
much as there
walked him
wasn't.
around. I would have asked him where he sat as a kid in Dodger Stadium. I would have asked him where he was during the 59 World Series. Like, there's so many things I would have done with him over this weekend. The Kevin Brown, I don't know, like, to Kevin Brown, the, because he's not really an Oriole fan. He's not an Aparicio. He hasn't grown up. Like, my father, my pop, I'm talking about, my Dundalk father, he loved the 58 Colts. And, he carried Odell Bracey off the field after, he told me these stories, and Amici and the goal line and Johnny U and Lenny Moore and like all of that. But dude, my dad, the 66 Orioles, I don't know about your dad, but my dad with the 66 Orioles. Now, I was born in October of 68. I was born the day after the 68 World Series ended. And the riots in Detroit happened in the middle of my birth at the Church Home Hospital in the city. In case ICE ask, I really was born here. But I the 66 World Series is, it's something that it's about to pass. You can't really talk about it, and you're like a historian who's watched all the films. You're the nerd that was up
I
all
didn't
night with Rex
experience
Barney.
it.
You didn't experience it, neither did
Yeah.
I.
I could
And
talk about it historically
the
speaking,
next
like.
thing to experiencing it was growing up in the early 70s with my father and all of the neighbors and all the older people in my life, and then hosting radio in 1991. It's my 35th anniversary coming up on, where when I went on the radio, I was 23 years old. The only way to identify with older people and to have an audience as Nasty Nestor and not be related to Louis Aparicio. And I never ran from that, but I never, like, said, give me free pizza because I'm related to Louis, or give me an entree point, or I don't know that I ever really had a sponsor here in all of the years I was here because someone loved little Louis. I never traded off of that. I never wanted to trade off of that. I wanted people to listen because I knew what I was talking about, and because I had integrity, I wasn't going to lie to them. But the Louis thing, and the 66 Oriole thing, and the family I grew up in and where I was, man, the 66 Orioles were, forget 69, 70, 71, because there was some heartbreak in there. Certainly heartbreak in 79 for me, 83, all that baseball has become with the new stadium and modern ownership and how lousy 43 years has been. The 66 thing, The only time you get to eat off of it is when you go to Dodger Stadium. It's the only time you get to eat off of it is when you're talking about Boog Powell or Jim Palmer or Louis Aparicio, the only guys that are left that are alive, right? Like literally, it's the only time you get to eat off of 66. And they got to eat off it in the middle of the night over the weekend. They won big and all that. But man, the Palmer thing was special. I want to say that. I don't get to say that much. I think Palmer and Ben McDonald, this era of color, and it's no offense to Brian Roberts or anybody else when they bring them in. It's just Dave Johnson, whom I love. It's just not the same. And I think that this was a really, it's tragic that it was destroyed by Greg Bader in regard to putting a leash on what they can and can't say and being honest and being critical and being with the fans instead of with ownership. You know what I mean? And we're going to learn the difference of that in the offseason. But Palmer at Dodger Stadium for a weekend on the 60th anniversary, they should have given everybody at home a wake, a bobblehead at 2 o'clock in the morning or something. But the 66 Orioles, if we let that pass, you know, as an Aparicio, as a baseball legacy, as Dodger Stadium being just, they still play in Dodger Stadium. You know what I mean? Like, and it's still fundamentally because of Janet Marie. Even the unique close sign up there looks like a 1966 shutter sign. That there's every part of it has been thought through. And then I walk into our ballpark and it looks like an effing dungeon behind home plate. And they've destroyed what Janet Marie built here. And it just makes me shake my head. And I don't know what to say. And they're wasting these final, this encore, I mean, this long freebird of Jim Palmer in his 80th year at Dodger Stadium. I just think it, you know, there's such beauty in Oriole baseball and such magic in it that is lost on Katie Griggs and Mark Fine and Don Rovac, and certainly lost on Ruben Stein and Eric Eddie through all of this, because the presentation of all of it and the Dodger Stadium part of it for me, I don't know. There's a lot of things they could have done on the 60th anniversary this weekend on television to do all sorts of telethon, up all night, fun, magical, let's throw back for the really old farts that might only just be taping it. I mean, I don't know how many people remember the 66. If you remember the 66 Orioles, throw me an email, ness@baltimorepositive.com. If you're listening, if you're out there and you have a memory like my dad's memory of being at the post office at the corner of El, my dad would never pass that post office at the corner of Eastern and Folcroft and El Reno, actually Gus Ryan, and right by the circle. And my dad would always say, we lined up right there around the corner to the circle to put our envelopes in for the 66 World Series tickets. And that he got tickets for the early strip and that his best friend had game 6 and 7 and didn't get to use them. You know, so like the stories of the 66 World Series, if anybody has them, I want to hear them, because I would have been up all night if they had let me in the booth, peppering Palmer about growing up in Southern California and what led him to baseball. He talked about his mother taking him to games, mother being in the upper deck. Dude, that was the best shit,
It was
man. That was
cool.
the
Yeah.
best. It was the best.
Well,
It was just great.
and this also lends itself to what I wrote on Friday going into this series. You're talking more in terms of the history and Palmer and all that, and I agree with all that. But it also, for me, was the Orioles came into the series 6 games under .500, right? And Saturday actually marked the 2 year of that. You know what we talk about all the time, right? Cost being at Costas Inn and knowing the Orioles finished up that series in the Bronx. But keep in mind, it wasn't just that Yankee series; it was the Philly series over the weekend at Camden Yards where there were 43,000 people there all 3 games of that series. And the Phillies had the best record in baseball at that point in time. The Orioles had the third best record in baseball. So, and look, we know how the rest of 2024 went. So it didn't go down and be and wasn't remembered in this way. But 2 years ago, when that series was going on, there was talk about 1983 and how fun this was, and both
Dude,
teams
the
were
city
good.
was
And
packed. That we had
no doubt,
flyovers.
no
There were
doubt.
Phillies fans everywhere. I did my show
So,
from Sláinte that day. I
right.
remember it
So, so,
vividly.
so that's where I was kind of saying in terms of what we saw this weekend, everything you mentioned from a historical perspective, yes, they still could have done those things. But for me, what would have added to it would be if the Orioles were playing more like they did 2 or 3 years ago and were right there, even payroll disparity, you know, payroll discrepancy aside, which applies for just about anyone, the idea that you could have had two heavyweights going toe to toe at Dodger Stadium, that would have been fun as well. But we know how the last 2 years have gone. And that's, again, it's not just this weekend. It's not just this year. It's the last 2 years of what's happened with the Orioles and what's happened specifically in this Mike Elias era, where I say, okay, good series win against the Dodgers. I agree with you. It was, reminiscing. I mean, the Orioles, they came so close on Saturday to having their first shutout at Dodger Stadium since Palmer in game two of the 66 World Series, outdueling Koufax. Sandy Koufax's last game, last game, he literally retired a few weeks after that. So,
I couldn't get enough of it, is all I'm saying. It's a
no, I
60th
agree.
anniversary,
But I think if the
and
Orioles had
I'll
been
drop
better,
the
that would have.
mic on this, and I'll let you even rap on this if there's anything you want to say about the Angels. But they go from Dodger Stadium, and I'm assuming Palmer's going to call the games because he lives 5 minutes away from Anaheim,
I
right?
would assume so,
Like
yeah.
to Anaheim, where there's just, if you remember the '79 Orioles, and Frank Tanana, like there's nothing there. But they stole Bobby Grich and Bud Baylor and Fred Lynn and Reggie Jackson and just all of that. Rod Carew, you go through all of that. We stole Don Ossie. Actually, we stole Fred Lynn. But either way,
Bring your own energy because
there's
there's probably
nothing.
not going to be a
Right.
whole lot.
My
Right.
point is, they had something at Dodger Stadium, which only they have, which is we won. It's the 60th anniversary. Jim Paul, like they had all of that to now, like, oh, it's Monday night and it's summertime and the kids are out of school. And I hope they come back. I hope they give us more reasons to talk some baseball
Sure.
on Wednesday when we get to Green Mountain Station, right?
No doubt. I mean, build on this. This was a fun weekend. It was.
Yeah.
But for me to sit here and wax poetic said it's the mark of a turnaround. We've been down that road over and over and over. Let's see it. Stack it, right? If you can get a sweep, especially, but at least win a series. Don't come home after losing two out of three and then it's almost a mockery again, right? Oh, well, you won a series against the Dodgers and then you lost against the Angels. Typical Orioles, right? Same old Orioles. Maybe don't try not doing that, and then people can come home and, show up at the ballpark. You figure a lot of people will be there over the weekend with the Nats. And, there's, I'm not saying it's a lot of juice, but there'll be a little bit of juice. But give fans a reason to get excited again. And they need to build on that. The weekend was fun. Two out of three from the Dodgers. I'm never going to sit here and say that's not a fun thing. But if you want it to mean something, man, you need to start really building on this thing.
Going through my top 10 Dodger Stadium moments. Got a picture with Bruce Kulick right before he did the national anthem there. He played with Kiss. That was a big deal. My wife and I got a selfie with Tommy Lasorda late in his life.
That's pretty cool.
We talked about pasta, nothing better than that in Brooklyn. He is Luke. I am Nestor. I love my Planet Fitness shirt, so thanks for that. And if you have youngins out there, get them in the gym here this summer. It's free. It's Planet Fitness. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.